Hi, I'm Jo Allen. I'm a holistic health teacher and founder of The Humble Warrior based in St. Leonard's-on-Sea.
Hello, I'm Heidi Rickson and I'm a Reiki healer, teacher and sound healer.
Welcome to Resonance Space. And welcome to Resonance Space podcast. And today we have a sound bite for you, going back to our favorite topic of sound and sound healing.
Yes, we are, kind of by accident, isn't it?
Yeah, we just were going through a load of topics, and yeah, I think you mentioned something that caught my ear literally, and I thought, ooh, a sound bite, I love it.
We were talking about what books we were reading.
Yeah, or audiobooks. I don't have time to read, unfortunately.
It's the same thing. Audiobooks, read, you know, listen, read.
Yeah. I wish I would physically read more, though, because audiobooks I do like on the run, like if I'm in a car, or, you know what I mean? And so I'm not concentrating as much. But yes, what are we ingesting?
Ingesting. Ew, that sounds
ingesting
weird.
Ingesting knowledge.
The one, and one I'm listening to at the moment is called My Big Toe, T-O-E, which is, stands for Theory of Everything. Mm. I heard the author interviewed on Joe Rogan's podcast a couple weeks ago, and I thought, oh, this is fascinating. So this guy used to closely work with Robert Monroe from the Monroe Institute. He is the guy that brought binaural beats into the public eye back in the, I want to say, 80s.
Yeah. And if anyone doesn't know what binaural beats is, what are they?
It's when you have two different frequencies, one in one ear and one in the other, and the difference between the two is what kind of frequency your brain picks up. So if I have 175 in one ear and I have 170 in the other ear, 5 hertz.
Yeah. So it's got the ability to calm the brain and lower the brainwave frequency.
If you program it to do as such. So if you do a binaural beat with like 40 hertz, it's not very relaxing.
No. It needs to be on the lower spectrum, doesn't it? But yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? And the different frequencies can be used for different, I suppose, conditions?
It can be. Yeah. So we've got theta, which... Well, delta is the lowest, and that's really, really deep
sleep.
Deep sleep. Yeah. Then we go into theta, which is more of a, almost like a trance-like state. Sort of when you just wake up, but you're not really awake, but you are awake. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's where you go when you're in sound healing, I think. You're in that state.
Kind of drifting.
Yeah. Sort of disconnected from the body, but not awake, but not asleep.
A hypnagogic state.
That's it, yeah. Hypnagogic. Yeah.
So this guy talked about all about how he got involved in this, and that the theta frequency binaural beat is what they used to do remote viewing, which is out-of-body consciousness trips, if you will. It sounds a bit weird now I'm saying it out loud.
No. Like when you're in a meditative state and you let your mind wander off, but instead of it being you imagining it, are you saying you're actually traveling? You're seeing reality.
Yeah.
In a different place.
Yes. So the idea is you go to a specific place. I think they give you the coordinates and then you just go there. There's been research for like 30 years on that. I've not necessarily done it. Well, I've done it a tiny little bit, but not like hugely where I traveled to another part of the world.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? You did have a story, though, that you did experience something.
I did. It was during a psychic development class I took with a friend of mine back in America. And she had us do like kind of a mini remote viewing, if you will. So she told us what she wanted us to describe, which happened to be her grandmother's house, but she didn't actually tell us that beforehand. Mm-hmm. She just said, I'm thinking of somewhere, and I want you to describe it. So we all sat around, kind of getting into that meditative state, if mm-hmm. you will. And after a few minutes, we all were around the table and told her what we saw. And I just started to describe what I picked up, and it just happened to be her grandmother's house, what she had kind of projected at first, but not told us.
Yeah. And did everyone describe the same thing?
No, everyone had a different take on it.
Okay.
It's almost like everyone had a different kind of perspective.
Yeah.
If you
but
will.
It felt like people went there.
I can't remember exactly what everyone else said. There was a couple of people that had specifics. Mm-hmm. But some people just had impressions,
yeah,
colors, mm-hmm. even a specific feeling.
And I suppose it depends how you sense things in that way. Because some people are very visual when they meditate. Some people aren't at all. Some people do just have feeling sensations. Yeah, so I guess that's down to the individual person as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it was interesting that we could all do that. And we didn't have binaural beats. This is before I started getting into the sound aspect of what I do. So it's, you can do it.
But I think sound frequencies really help to get into that state, that brainwave state. Because, yeah, so I do a session with a lady who opens Akashic Records. And so she does the meditation with people, but I sort of get them into the right brainwave state where they can access. And yeah, and then I was talking to another lady recently who is very guided by her kind of shamanic guides, and she's been very clearly told that sound frequency is the healing of the future, and it's what's going to sort of heal us collectively. So she kind of approached me to say, I'd love to include your sound healing in my shamanic work and that sort of thing. And I was like, amazing, I love it. So it's kind of, it's really strange that people are coming to me because I'm doing the sound healing, and they want it to kind of help to access other things. And I'm just like, this is just so exciting. And I think, yeah, things like binaural beats, it fascinates me because you can use sound frequencies for focus, for example, for calming, obviously, you know, calming anxiety, for like depression, if you need to raise your, I guess, happiness levels. And so there's ways of using sound for healing that's is quite incredible. And the more research there is and the more people learn about it, I think it's becoming something that people understand as a, you know, I think with meditation, sometimes people are like, why am I doing this? And I've just discovered a really nifty little trick of showing them how powerful meditation is. I'll maybe do that another time, but with sound healing, people just get it. They feel it. They just kind of go, oh yeah, you know, whatever they needed, whether it was to release some stress or sadness, or, you know, they just, yeah, they're kind of understanding it. And I think that's brilliant.
Well, it's very visceral as well. Your body feels it. Even if you have headphones in, your whole body vibrates.
Yeah.
Along with whatever you're listening to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's probably it. It is more visceral, and it's more probably at a subconscious level. You're understanding what's happening rather than meditation takes a bit of kind of trust, I guess. It's all trust, but maybe that has more of a trust element that it's kind of, you know, there's a benefit to it. Whereas, yeah, sound healing feels physical, doesn't it? As well as spiritual and emotional and...
So do you use binaural beats in your work?
I use tuning forks. So yes, I'll do. I have two different frequencies, kind of either side of the ear, and there's loads of beautiful ones that have different kind of outcomes, I suppose, mainly for calming, for what I do, because I don't. When I say sound healing, I'm not doing any kind of, you know, a physical healing of bodies. I'm just doing, you know, sort of like more of an experience and a calming and that sort of thing.
Well, it's all connected, isn't it?
It's all connected, but I know that you can kind of use tuning forks to, you know, I don't know, you know, work on tumours in the body. You mm-hmm. can work on like repairing organs. I don't do any of that sort of thing. I do love a tuning fork around a chakra, you know, a bit of chakra unblocking. But yes, but that is binaural beats. And if there's, or I might play a track. If there's a, you know, if there's a focus at the end after the instruments, I might play a binaural beats track if there's something that I want to guide people towards.
But don't yes. you need headphones for that?
No, I just have it on like surround sound speakers.
Oh, okay.
It might not be as good, but people still seem to feel pretty relaxed after.
And that is what matters.
Exactly. But yeah, but I'd love to learn more about the origins. Like, how did they discover it? It's amazing.
He just figured, this guy, Robert Monroe, just kind of figured it out.
Mm.
I think one of the next book I'm gonna read is him, Robert Monroe's book about how he discovered all this and how it came into being.
Yeah, that would be fascinating.
Absolutely, and I will update you on that.
We'll do, yes, we'll do an update. Another sound bite.
Thank you for joining the journey here on Resonant Space.
I've been Jo.
And Heidi.
And if you want to contact us, you can get in touch at our email address, info@the-humblewarrior.co.uk. So just if you have any questions about any episodes, if you have any topics you'd like us to explore, or if you are a practitioner yourself and would like to come on the podcast and discuss a subject, that would be amazing. So yes, feel free to get in touch. Thank you.